today you get two messages. No, I shouldn't say it. One was a testimony. We've been going through Matthew, and we're in the family called the Sermon on the Mount, which is well known. It is, and we come to this part. Last week, we covered what's known as the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the beginning of the Lord's Prayer. And shortly after that, Jesus comes to this section we're at now, where he talks about storing up treasure in heaven, right? He says, don't store up treasures on earth where it will be decay. Store up treasures in heaven, right? And later on it says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we come to this section here. This section, the whole sermon is spoken and taught to disciples. It's people who have decided, committed to follow Jesus. It's for Christians. It's not for society in general. So when Jesus gives this charge to store up treasure in heaven, he's not saying, you know, if you give money, you will earn a place in heaven. No, this is already spoken to people who can call God their Father, who they are the children of God. They're already disciples of Jesus. That is settled. So we're not earning a place in heaven or anything like that. It is talking about how we allocate our resources, what we do. So being a disciple, being a follower of Jesus should affect us, affect all aspects of our life, right? If we're praying, and I hope last week you were praying, if you weren't, how about that, you know, we should continue to pray the Lord's Prayer. That's a great prayer to adjust us. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your name be uplifted. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth. We're praying that God's kingdom would come. That is not just praying for the final arrival of God's kingdom on earth. It's praying today. God, Lord, today may your kingdom spread. May more of my life, my decisions, my attitudes, my thoughts, my actions, may more of those be in your kingdom under your rule. Right? May my family life, my human life, what I do be under your rule, and may your will be done. May your will be done. Right? And so the more we pray this, the more we'll be enlightened and get more aligned with God's will. Okay, that will affect what we do and the way we live, because we have God in our life and our life is in his kingdom. That will affect what we do with our time, with our activities, and with our resources. And that's what we come to here. Lay up treasures or store up treasure in heaven. Now, many people, you know, they hear about heaven. The default understanding is heaven's where you go when you die. There's this present life, we live on this earth, then when you die, you go to heaven. That is a common concept. It's been around for a long time. So for a lot of people, storing up treasure in heaven, it means preparing for the afterlife, not this life here on earth, but after you die, wherever you go, is preparing for that. That concept's common, and it's been around for a long time in history. Think about this. The pharaohs of Egypt, those pyramids you see, are tombs built by the pharaohs to get themselves buried and provision them for the next life. Think about King Tut, right? Right? A few years ago, the exhibition came here to Toronto. King Tut was a young king, a pharaoh. He died at a young age, but his years, he spent a lot of time, and the pharaohs did typically, preparing for the next life. Yeah, they had resources here, but their idea was, what's going to happen? I need things on the other side after they die. So King Tut and the other pharaohs prepared things they felt would help them in the afterlife. What, I'm a pharaoh, I need food. So they provision themselves with food, right? And we have, that's part of the exhibit. Where King Tut was buried, there's a tomb with his coffin, gold-plated mask and everything, highly decorated. There are storerooms adjacent of treasures. What do I need in the afterlife? Well, here I have a chariot. I need a chariot. So they provided a chariot. Here I had a boat, so they made a boat. Here I go hunting, I fight, so I need weapons to hunt and fight. They gave him weapons. Here I need food, they provided food. I need clothing, I need servants, I need horses, I need whatever. So there were rooms full of these things to provision him for the afterlife. They were storing up treasure for the afterlife. Did it work? Most of the pharaohs, their treasures were looted. Right? They weren't around. Why? Because people realized there's a lot of good stuff in there, gold and whatever. So within a few either decades or centuries, people went in there, broke them open, got the treasure and used it. The thieves broke in and stole. That's exactly what Jesus talked about. Don't lay up treasures on earth where thieves break through. The only reason they found King Tut was that was a hidden burial chamber. So King Tut is one of the few, maybe the only one, they found the treasures because they didn't happen to discover it. This idea, but you get the idea? This is the common concept. This was not related to the Bible. It was a common concept in ancient Egyptian society and in other societies. Right? People had this idea, lay up, use what you have today, try to provision yourself for the next life. Jesus, you know, and some Christian teachers teach it the same kind of way. They say, okay, you know, Jesus talked about heavenly mansions. That's the King James Version. Jesus said in King James, bad translation, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, etc. So people have this idea. Oh, you don't have a heavenly mansion now, but if you give to the right places, you will get a heavenly mansion. How many bathrooms do you need? How many? Oh, here you only have two bathrooms. There you can have five. Here you have two bedrooms. You have a condo. There you can have five bedrooms. Here you only have regular faucets. You can have gold-plated faucets. Woo! That's messages like that are preached and presented. But I want to tell you, that is not what Jesus is talking about, and that's not what the Bible talks about. Jesus is not offering you a mansion in the sky in the sweet by and by. It's not pie in the sky when you die. It's none of those things. Jesus said, the Bible says, eye has not seen, nor has it come up in man's heart what God has prepared for those who love him. You haven't imagined. You can't imagine. You can't picture it. What God has prepared. It's not a mansion. You can imagine that. Right? God provides for us. It's not a mansion in the sky. So storing up treasures in heaven is not putting a down payment, making prepayments for your mansion in the sky. It's talking about something more profound than that. Okay, what is it talking about? This is what it's not talking about. What is it talking about? In the book of Matthew, heaven, the word heaven, is a proxy for God. For God. Kingdom of heaven is used interchangeably with the kingdom of God. Right? In this next few verses down from where we are, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek God's kingdom. God's kingdom. Earlier on, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God are used interchangeably. Number one, Heaven represents where God is. Store up treasures in heaven means you have treasures with God. With God. It's not a matter of physical place. Don't think of heaven up there, we're down here. No, it's a matter of God and where God is. Right? Amen. Right? Heaven means with God. This is a quotation. Heaven means with God. To have treasure in heaven means to have life with God even now. Even now. Jesus came and proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. It's drawn near. The kingdom came with Jesus. It came now. It comes to where you are. Jesus says early in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is their present possession. The kingdom is not just later. The kingdom is now. It's here and it's now. It's not a matter of locate up there and down here. It's not a matter of later, the future versus the present. No, it's a matter of being with God in the realm of God. Amen. Okay, let me give you, let's give you a couple of quotes from scholars on this. Okay, N.T. Wright says this. When Jesus says, you will have treasure in heaven, he doesn't mean treasure you possess after you die. Nor that you must go to heaven to get it. He doesn't mean that. That's the other, that's the wrong concept, right? I have another quote more like what it does mean. Heaven for Matthew is, that's where we are, is the sphere of God's rule where his will is done. Heaven's the sphere of God's rule where his will is done. The contrast Jesus is drawing is not between this life and the life after. It's not before death, after death. But between this life in the human realm where God's not that involved, and God's inbreaking realm. It's a question of, are you in the kingdom? How much are you in the kingdom? How much has the kingdom of God come to you and me? How much is God ruling and reigning in our life? If we lay up, to lay up treasure in heaven means to lay up, to bring our resources into God's kingdom. Out of just the human realm into God's kingdom. That's what it means. Amen? All right, moving along here. All right. Jesus charged us to store up treasure. Jesus does touch on this matter. What are you and I doing with our resources? Being a Christian should affect our life, all dimensions of our life. It's not just I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sunday, other people sleep in, other people do sports. No. Being a Christian means I am following Jesus, and that affects all aspects of my life. So we pray, Lord, may your kingdom come. Come to me. Come to your. May it spread in my life. May your will be done. May my decisions, my what I do, what I say, what I do myself, my energies, my efforts be under your kingdom rule and according to your will. That includes what we do with our resources, right? Amen. Okay, let me go down a little bit. You know, Jesus talked quite a few times about what we do with our resources. This is one place, there's later places. All the human things we have in this life, you cannot take them with you. You have a house here, you have a car here, you have whatever here, you have money here, you have wealth here, possessions here, your own, right? Whatever power, property, possessions you have, you will not take them with you. When you leave this life, they stay, you go, right? Alexander the Great, who conquered a lot of the known world, 300 BC, he told people, when I die, I have three requests. Number three, when I die, put me in a coffin, put holes in the side, and put my hands out. out of the coffin. When they buried Alexander the Great, they buried him with holes in the side of the coffin, and they put his hands out. He said this, "Why? I want people to see I came into this world with nothing. When I leave this world, my hands are empty." You get it? Doesn't matter how much you have here while you're alive. When you leave this human life, your hands are empty. No exception. So what are you and I doing? There's a way for you and I to put our resources with God, to make them count with God. That's right. I don't think Alexander the Great didn't realize that. Okay. Martin Luther says something similar, but hits another note. Martin Luther says this. Martin Luther lived 500 years ago. I have had many things in my hands. This is his human life. Many things passed through my hands, and I have lost them all. It doesn't mean he was forgetful. He was incompetent. Means what? The end of life, they're gone. I have had many things in my hands, and I've lost them all. But whatever I've been able to place in God's hands, I still possess. Friends, brothers and sisters, if we can bring our time, our efforts, and our resources into God's kingdom, it counts with God. It counts with God's kingdom, and it counts ongoing. We won't be separate. Jesus told this parable a little bit later in Luke, in the same context. He said this. It's a short parable. Jesus told the story. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, so he got a bountiful crop. He said, great, bonus, right? I'm doing well. What shall I do since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? He thought about it, decided, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I'll store all my grains and goods there. Then I'll say to myself, he's speaking to himself here, I'll say to myself, you, the self, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. You got it made. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you prepared, whose will they be? You're going to leave them. They're gone, separated from you. That is how it is with one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Humanly, you know, think about it. As far as the common evaluation, we would say, this man is smart, this man is productive, this man's doing the right thing, he's showing he's applying himself, he's showing great planning, right? He's doing all the right things, right? Preparing for the future. God says to him, you're a fool. Why? Because humanly you prepared a lot. As far in terms of God's kingdom, God's things, you don't have anything. God calls this man a fool. So is he. You have a lot of stuff, but you're not rich towards God. That's the challenge. Fool is not a term we like to hear applied to us, right? You know, I have been called a fool. I remember some famous people, I said what I was going to do with my life, and some Nobel Prize winners said, "You are a fool." Thank you. That was their response. You are a fool. We can open doors for you, get you some. Okay. No, I said, I'm going to Canada. Why? I said, that's what I feel, how I feel God is leading me. Response, you are a fool. It's not pleasant. We don't like it. If a human person calls you a fool, you may be, you may not. Time will tell. If God calls you a fool, you are a fool. Right. Okay, so don't be that worried if somebody calls you a fool. Ask, what does God's What's God's evaluation? God says you're a fool, you and I are a fool, if we don't take account of God's kingdom, if we just allocate things for ourselves. This is for me, this is for my future, my success, my security, my standard of living. God, right? If you take care of all that, ignore God, I'm sorry, you're on that category. So ask yourself this question: am I foolish? Am I foolish? Are you, you know, I could ask, are you a fool? That's a little harsh. They toned it down. Are you being foolish? But God calls some people a fool, right? How can we not be a fool? Answer, you know, the way we reuse our resources. Okay, we can give that in ways that count for God's kingdom. That's the point. We can use our resources, wealth, income, whatever, money, we can use. Let me give you a couple of quotes quickly. Okay, giving to God reminds us that our life is about God, not about us. It says, I'm not the point, God is the point. Giving is a joyful surrender to a greater person with a greater agenda. Giving resources for God. Giving is giving. It's a surrender to a greater person, God, with a greater agenda. God has a plan, a kingdom he wants to bring in. Okay, next quote. Putting your resources, your assets, your money, your possession, your time into the things of God, as surely as a compass needle points north, magnetic, right? Your heart will follow your treasure. That's what money leads, hearts follow. Jesus said, we may think it's the other way around, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Jesus said the opposite. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure goes, heart follows. Right? So you may say, I don't have a feeling. I don't feel much about it. Response, put some resources there. You'll have more feeling. Put your treasure there, your heart will follow. Here's another quote. Jesus says, okay, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You say, so somebody asks you, where's your heart? You say, I'm for God. Where's your heart? I'm for the Lord. I'm for Jesus. I'm for God's purpose. Okay. Where your treasure is, there is your heart will be also. Okay. Jesus says, show me your checkbook. You say, I don't have a checkbook. Show me your bank statement. Show me your credit card statement. Right? And I'll show you where your heart is. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart. If we say, Lord, we're for you, right? That should affect where we allocate our resources. You want your heart to be there, put some treasure there. Okay, another quote. People say, I want to have a heart for mission, for the Christian mission, the gospel. Jesus tells you how. You want to have a heart for mission, how to get a heart. Jesus tells you, put your money in missions and your heart will follow. Do you want to have a heart for your church? Do you want to have a heart for your church? You say, yes. Jesus says, put your money there, right? Do you want your heart to be in your church? Put your money there. Your heart will always be where your money is. If most of your money is in mutual funds, property, your hobby, that's where your heart's going to be. Where are you putting your resources? That's where your heart will be. Jesus says, store up your treasure. Your heart will be there. Store up your treasure for the things of God. Then, okay, that's where your heart will be. Amen. All right. Okay? It's good. You know, this is a practical message. I'm sorry, you know, sometimes we come here and then Monday you're thinking, what was that message? Oh yeah, something about prayer. Right? You know, I'd like you to think, you know, you say, okay, what are we calling for? Jesus said, you know, it's not me. Jesus said, store up your treasure in heaven. That means with God, for God's kingdom, for God's interest. Jesus said it. I'm saying what Jesus said. Store up your treasure in heaven. Give to God for God's kingdom, for his okay, that will put your heart will follow. We can give to God. There's many ways. In the seat in front of you, there's an envelope. Please take it out. In the seat in front of you, of course, if you're in the front, you don't have one. We can get you one. In the seat in front of you, in the pocket, there's an envelope. Can you pull it out? Step one. Pull out. Can you hold it up? Thank you. Okay, everybody got one? Everybody got an envelope? Okay. This, please, keep this. Use this. This is a way to remind you, Lord, I want to put some of my treasure in God's kingdom. This is one way, right? One way to give to the church, give to God's interest. That is a way to put some treasure in heaven. Put some treasure for God's kingdom, okay? You know, if you want to put some money in, we have an offering box out there. If you want to take it home, write a check, whatever, right? Bring it back. You can do the same thing. You want a tax receipt, put your information on it, deposit it in the box. We can use our resources to further God's kingdom. Please take this with you. Somebody asked you, you know, maybe your spouse, whatever, was serving, not here. Say, what was the meeting about? Bible? God? It's about how we use our resources. If you're a Christian, the way you use your resources should be different. Christians give more. It's a fact. In Canada, Christians give more, significantly more than others. They give more to the church, and they give more to different charities. Christians give more money. Christians give more time to these things. That's good, because it shows us being a Christian affects how people use resources. We're asking you, please consider before the Lord, how am I using my resources? The average amount Canadians give is not, yeah, they give, but not that much. It is 0.6% of income is how much Canadians, this is tax data. It's tax time, right? I'm giving you information from the CRA. Right? The CRA tells you Canadians in Ontario give 0.6% of their income is allocated to charities of any every kind. That's not that much. But Christians give significantly more. Amen? We'd like you to have the opportunity to give significantly more. Then you may tell me, Nigel, you're just trying to raise money for your church. And my response to you is, you want to give to another church? Fine. No problem. You want to give to another charity? That's also fine. It's all good. But please give. Please give. Give for God's kingdom. Give for God's interest. You know, to me, whether money comes here, another church, another mission, whatever, we want you to have treasure in heaven. That's the thing. It's not about me. It's about you. You putting things in God's kingdom. Number two, you may say, Nigel, I got commitments. I got commitments. I got my mortgage payment. I got my condo fees. I got my living expenses. I got my car payments. I got my kids' tuition. I got a lot of stuff. I know a lot of people, your budget is allocated. Let me ask you this. When you get a bonus, when you got a bonus, can you give some to God? Yes or no? When you get a bonus, can you give some to God? Whoa, not so strong. When you get your tax refund, can you give to God? Yes. I'm not saying give it all, but can you give something? When you get a pay increase, can you give to God? Yes, thank you. Okay, so at least, you know, let's put some of our resources into the kingdom of God. Jesus said, final word, you know, we talked about fool. Who's wise? In this section of the Bible, Jesus says who's wise. At the end, he says, the one who hears my words and does them is like a wise man. Who's wise? You hear the word and you do it. Not just hear it. You may say, yeah, I like the message. Thank you. I appreciate it. I amen it. But we need action. Jesus said, who's wise? Those who hear my words and do them. Today we got a call to action. All right? To please take this with you. Let it remind you. Please consider before God and respond. Let me just pray and we'll close up. Sorry, I've gone over 7 minutes. Anyway, it's good. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we are followers of you. Lord, we do want to be your disciples. And Lord, we do want more of our life in your kingdom. We pray again, Lord. Lord, you're our Father in heaven. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come more in our life, more areas of our life come under your kingdom rule. And may your will be done. Lord, grant us all grace as we consider these things. We pray more of our life, more of our living could be in your kingdom. We pray bless everyone this week. Bless us as we consider these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, you there? Okay.
Yes. I sneaked up from behind. Thank you, Nigel, for this challenging but I think very helpful message. So thank you all for joining us today. I think giving is a difficult topic, right? But I think it sets us in the right direction. It sets us into a direction toward Jesus, toward God's kingdom, and toward, very practically, a vital church community, for example, right? I mean, all the things you see, like this keyboard, it's not free. Like, you have to buy it, right? So if you want good music, we need money for that. Like, so I think it's no harm to say, yeah, like, if you like to be here, if you're part of this community, we need support, like, a lot. So if you have a lot, please be generous, because I think we have a generous God who gave everything for when we didn't pay anything back, right? And I think we can just be generous too, as much as we can. It's a process. Okay, enough. Thank you all for joining us. And of course, I'll be absolutely happy to see you next weekend for our Easter services. And one thing I almost forgot. If you're new with us, we're happy to meet you, like connect to anybody of us people who have one of these lanyards, or anybody else who seems friendly enough and you know, you dare talking to them. Connect to us, right? Talk to us, get to know us. We'll be absolutely happy to meet you. So God bless you all and goodbye. See you next time.